Hello, this is Paige Hattie with CBM Connect, and today we are sitting down with Drew Waltz. Drew joined IRIS in June of 2017, and he is an ISO CAT II Airborne Structure Borne Certified Inspector and is certified in Principles of Infrared. His responsibilities include developing IRIS's ultrasound and infrared CAT I and CAT II certification training courses in accordance with the ISO 18436, which the Part 7 and 8 and CAT I ASU course was recently approved and adopted by Mobius Institute. Drew is a Desert Storm veteran whose first exposure with infrared was in the U.S. Army, where it was used to spot targets to call for artillery strikes. He quickly became fascinated with its use after his time in the military. Drew has worked for an ultrasound manufacturer for over 13 years, traveling the world teaching the use of ultrasound in CBM, RCM, and PDM programs. Drew is passionate about this technology and how much it complements infrared, MCA, and vibration. Today, we're going to speak with Drew about the advances in airborne, structure-borne ultrasound over the past few decades. Hi, Drew. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Paige.
Excellent. So we're going to dive right in. So Drew, tell me what advances in airborne, structure-borne ultrasound, or ASU for short, have you seen over the last two decades?
Well, over the last two decades, ASU testing devices have really advanced, not only just to provide the inspector with the digital readout, when back in the days they used to just be analog, but also the ability to record sound waves. This step, followed by the creation of basic sound wave analysis software, has really kind of helped us to actually see harmonics and frequency spectrum and patterns in time waveforms. A lot of the basic software platforms that came out years ago are still in use today, which makes it a little tough to actually see the harmonic indications as they're happening because they only go down to a tenth of a millisecond. So this really makes it tough to find the exact harmonic value of some of these faults when using a time waveform. Newer platforms actually have the ability to overlay multiple sound waves in FFT or in a time waveform, even spectrograms, and then we can actually drill down into the actual time waveform into the thousandths of a millisecond, which gives us the capability to actually determine the harmonic interval between them.
All right, awesome. So then why is it important to achieve the critical angle of an electrical fault?
Well, in some cases, it's been shown that if the critical angle of an electrical inspection has not been achieved, it'll give the inspector no visible indication when they're using the FFT or frequency spectrum. However, when we take that same sound wave and we run it through a time signal or time waveform analysis, we will be able to still see those harmonic indications that are not apparent in the actual FFT. We can then look for the indication here in North America, we would look for a 0.016 continue to infinity or a 0.017 harmonic value in milliseconds that would tell us that we have a 60 hertz line fault, which would indicate that we have an electrical issue going on. We can even use these same fault indications or formulas to determine if there's a bearing fault or stray voltage occurring in rolling elements as well too.
All right, Drew. So then what other information can be extrapolated from these sound wave images?
Well, by looking at a frequency spectrum in the time signal, the inspector can see clearly the differences between corona or tracking, for example. Both will present with a 60 hertz harmonic. However, the time signal of corona will present with a harmonic generally having more amplitude on the negative portion of the time signal than it does on the positive side when we measure peak to peak of the amplitude. It'll also present with a much smaller length of time, which again can be measured, whereas the treeing will have a pattern that's generally presented with equal amplitude in the positive and the negative portion when looking at peak to peak.
So Drew, you keep mentioning this critical angle of electrical inspection. What is it and what can cause it?
Well, Paige, the critical angle of electrical inspection is simply explained like this. If we think of an inspector doing transmission line testing, they may hear the event on the lines, but they can't get the best angle to it, no matter how much they change their position around the fault. It's a lot like listening to a radio station as you go over a mountain and start down the backside. You tend to lose the signal. You may hear a little bit of the signal, but you're not able to clearly hear it. The sound wave you would try to capture of the event on the line will act similarly as the event could be on the top side of the insulator or wire, and you cannot get in line with the best signal. This will cause you to lose some of the signal pattern when you go to analyze it in the frequency spectrum, making it next to impossible for us to find those distinctive 60 hertz harmonics here in North America. time signal waveform analysis then comes into play, since it will show each snap, pop, or crack the inspector heard while they're with their own ears, and allow them to look for that 0.016 or 0.017 milliseconds harmonic pattern in the time signal waveform, which would tell them that they have an electrical fault.
All righty. So, Drew, what if the inspector is testing an MCC or enclosed switchgear? Would the critical angle be a factor here too?
Paige, that's another great question. And the simple answer is yes, it would. The reason being is there's this factor called diffraction, which is the bending of sound as it exits through or travels through an opening, an orifice, or bends around a corner. So when we have these cabinets, a lot of times they're not sealed up. So we get this diffraction signal and we lose some of the characteristic and energy, much like not being in line with the critical angle of the transmission line. So we then would need to rely on something similar to our VPDSs that we offer, or PDSs, where we actually embed a sensor inside the cabinet and then there is no diffraction signal. We also would then be able to eliminate any potential antagonistic ultrasound from the background. So this way we get to hear strictly what's inside that cabinet. We get a good strong signal. We can then see it in our FFT. We could also see it in our time waveform. So we'd be able to really analyze and dig into what specifically is going on. So this is one of the biggest things that will help any inspector in being able to get the truest form of what the event is, so they can make the correct diagnosis of what's going on inside that cabinet before they have to open it up to do infrared or any other further inspection or work.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Drew. We really enjoyed talking with you.
You're welcome, Paige. I enjoyed speaking on this. So anytime you guys need, just give me a shout.